Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, replacing old windows for smoother operation and home comfort. More at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, April 29th. I'm Abby Larico. Backyard chickens are really popular this year, in part due to the sky-high cost of eggs at the grocery store. Some people are even renting hens.
It was just like, boom, there we go. We didn't have chickens one day, and then we had a whole setup the next.
A look at the demand for backyard egg layers coming up after this news on The Gateway. Four people, ranging in age from 4 to 18 years old, were killed Monday when a vehicle struck an after-school childcare building in central Illinois. Authorities say it happened at the Why Not facility in Chatham, that's south of Springfield, around 3:20 in the afternoon, soon after most kids arrived. Chatham's Deputy Police Chief Scott Tarter was on the scene.
The vehicle struck multiple persons outside of the building before continuing through the building and exiting out on the west side of the structure.
Police say several others were taken to the hospital with injuries. The driver has not been identified and was being evaluated at a hospital. As of Tuesday morning, there's no word on whether criminal charges are pending. The federal government has restored hundreds of visas for international students across the country, including over 20 in the St. Louis region. This comes after several students filed lawsuits this month against the government and courts issued restraining orders. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
The federal government informed Webster University officials Monday morning that all 26 of its students who had their visas revoked are now reinstated. All students impacted at St. Louis University and Lindenwood University also have had their visas reinstated. The Trump administration said last month that it was revoking visas from students who participated in pro-Palestinian protests on campus or had a criminal record, though there were no protests on the Webster campus. The Department of Justice said Friday that it's also working on a new policy to implement new guidelines for how student visas could be terminated. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
All of the regional climate centers in the United States have reopened. That includes the one in the Midwest that covers Missouri and Illinois. The centers and their websites shut down abruptly due to a lapse in federal funding, but resumed operations this week after receiving stopgap funds. Along with collecting and sharing state climate data, the centers also provide free online tools that anyone can use. Researcher Allison Tarter of the Southern Regional Climate Center says she heard from thousands of people in agriculture and other industries who depend on the climate center.
It felt good to hear that so many people do use our services.
These centers and their websites will stay online until a new contract deadline in mid-June. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services appears to be preparing to cut a $56 million annual grant program that pays for the overdose reversal medication naloxone, and it trains first responders how to use it. Lily Halloran reports Missouri officials are worried that would reverse statewide efforts to reduce overdose deaths.
A budget document obtained by the Washington Post shows the grant is on the chopping block. It's a significant source of funding for Missouri's overdose response programs. Greg Bull is the first responder training coordinator at the Missouri Institute of Mental Health. He says losing the grant money would drastically reduce his agency's ability to distribute naloxone and train people in overdose response.
We would have to start triaging pretty seriously to figure out who needs it the most critically. And that's not a position we want to put first responder agencies in when it comes to life-saving care.
Bull says overdose deaths in Missouri have declined since the project began, including by nearly a quarter last year. I'm Lily Halloran.
A University City man has pleaded guilty to two charges stemming from a protest last year at the Ferguson police station. Torrin Taylor admits to damaging a gate surrounding the police department and attempting to grab a Ferguson officer's gun. He and dozens of others were at the police station marking the 10th anniversary of the death of Michael Brown on August 9, 2024. The judge sentenced Taylor to 4 years in prison, but suspended the execution of that sentence, so that means Taylor will not be behind bars as long as he does not violate probation, but he will have a criminal record. A second property damage case against Taylor is still pending. The old courthouse in downtown St. Louis is reopening its doors this weekend following a multi-million dollar renovation. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimbley reports on the new era for the historic site where Dred and Harriet Scott sued for their freedom.
The historic landmark has been closed for renovation since 2020, but the public will finally get to visit the building when it reopens this Saturday. Lynn Jackson is the great-great-granddaughter of Dred and Harriet Scott and founder and president of the Dred Scott Heritage Foundation. She says she remembers a time in her youth when their pictures weren't even on the wall at the old courthouse.
For them to have their own gallery is just an incredible, huge honor and a great leap forward. It will have a few aspects of their lives that people don't know about.
Jackson was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. The old courthouse now has an elevator, more accessible ramps, and central air and heat. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
In recent years, more and more people have welcomed chickens to their backyards. But for those who aren't fully ready to commit, renting chickens is an option. Chicken rental businesses will provide everything you need, the coop, the food, and the hens. And as Harvest Public Media's Skylar Rossi reports, recent egg shortages at the grocery store are pushing more people to consider renting chickens.
Four chickens snack on a treat of dried mealworms, which Katie Hitch shakes into the run of their coop from a red plastic cup. These chickens have lived in Hitt's backyard in St. Louis for just over a week. She and her family have enjoyed the pale blue eggs the hens lay, and her three young kids are having fun with the birds.
That's the first thing they're thinking of when they wake up in the morning is like, how are the chickens and what are they doing?
This is Hitt's first time having chickens. She says she's wanted them for a while, but she was nervous about doing something wrong. She doesn't know anyone with a backyard flock, and there's an overwhelming amount of advice online.
Looking at all these things, and I just wasn't sure what the right move would be.
But then Hitt heard about chicken rentals. She could have her birds and coop delivered right to her home, expert advice, and only a one-year commitment renting. So the chickens moved in.
It was just like, boom, there we go. We didn't have chickens one day, and then we had a whole setup the next.
People are flocking towards backyard chickens this year. Rent the Chicken, a national backyard rental business, opened over a decade ago. Co-founder Jen Tompkins says rental interest is high.
We've been so busy, we haven't even been able to compare numbers now versus last year. But when we looked in February, we were already about 20% ahead on this year versus last year this time.
Hatcheries across the Midwest say they're also flooded with orders. Some point to the recent expensive egg prices and shortages as the reason why.
Things exploded, and it's almost 100% to do with eggs, the cost of eggs specifically.
That's Tom Watkins, the president of Murray McMurray Hatchery in Webster City, Iowa, which sells about 3 million chicks a year to people across the U.S. Typically, the hatchery sells out about 2 to 3 weeks in advance, but this year, Watkins says they're sold out through October.
So that's 40 weeks of chickens that are pre-sold. We have literally sold them, you know, counted them before they hatched. So
to be clear, even when eggs were at a record high average of $6.23 in March, you'd still be shelling out more to keep chickens than just buying the eggs. Katie Bell is an agriculture educator with the University of Illinois Extension. She says all the needed supplies, like the coop, the feed, and the fencing to protect the birds from predators, costs at least a few hundred dollars.
You could easily spend $500, you know, before you even get the birds.
And that goes for renting chickens too. In St. Louis, Emily and Tom Schnitzer opened their chicken rental business for feathered hens at the beginning of this year. They offer 6 or 12 month rentals. Their packages start at $95 per month for a year-long commitment and go up from there. Emily says their most expensive package at $190 a month includes full care of the birds.
We'll come out, we'll feed the chickens, we'll change out the bedding in the coop, make sure everything is like going smoothly, just so it's pretty much the family only has to collect the eggs.
Katie Hitt is renting from the Schnitzers. Her family is caring for the chickens themselves. Hitt says her kids are picky eaters, but they want to eat the eggs from their chickens.
This is like, oh, I know my chicken. You know, they're already deciding whose chicken is who.
my chicken laid this one. I'm going to eat that one. And so it's really cute.
Hit's not sure yet if she'll keep the chickens after the year is up. But for now, she's enjoying the experience. I'm Skylar Rossi, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including St. Louis Public Radio. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.